This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
The Discord is at discord.lrn.fm. Joining you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Thomas.
And Daryl.
Thomas Parisi joining us from The Jail Paper, which you've got a YouTube channel. Folks can go and look for The Jail Paper.
Yeah, if they just jump on YouTube and look up The Jail Paper or go to thejailpaperkeen.com, it pops them right over there.
What kind of content are they going to see if they go and watch?
Mainly criminal procedures, and also the Jail Paper Afterburn is a compilation of body cam and dash cam videos. So
not just Keen, you're also looking at sort of a nationwide body cam stuff.
Yeah, these are body cam.
Because there are no body cams in Keen.
No, unfortunately not. I wish. But these are ones from around the country, and usually there's content every week, so...
What was the recent body cam issue that we were talking about on the air? There was some crazy outrage. There's always something that these body cams...
Was it muting? Because a lot of them mute their body cam.
No. The cops actually...
Was it one of the things in Baltimore to where some of the body cams, you push a button and then it starts the recording, and other body cams just constantly record?
Yeah.
And they forgot that there's sort of the callback to where... It sort of stores some video for about like 10 seconds prior to when you hit the button, and they were inadvertently caught planting drugs and weapons on people.
Surprise!
And the chief wound up saying, we need to retrain the officers, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you need to train them how to not get caught planting stuff on people.
Yep.
So we spent most of the show so far, and we're done. I'm going to finish. Say we're done with this story, because we've gotten through almost all of it. At The Guardian, about... The medical patients there are having difficulty getting their medical cannabis in certain areas in Oregon that have opted out of recreational. And because of, and when I say opted out, their town governments have said, right, we don't want this here. And so the sick people in those towns are having a tougher time getting their cannabis. And the people who are trying to manufacture medical-related products have had extra restrictions put on them by the state government. They're not able to get the recreational license to distribute recreationally because the Oregon Liquor Control Commission has put a freeze on new recreational licenses. So there's all kinds of problems created by the bureaucracy. And then you add into all the regulatory. So you've got the regulatory bureaucrats over here doing their thing, getting in the way of business getting done, getting in the way of sick people getting their medicine. And then on top of that, you've got the police, who, of course, continue to believe that cannabis is a dangerous drug and continue to act as though it needs to be stopped as long as it's not, you know, in the legal system. It's in the legal system. We just want to make sure it's legal. We want to come in. We want to inspect. You've got to make sure you've got your tags, your cannabis tracking system. They've got the thing called the OLCC, Cannabis Tracking System. So the Liquor Commission has some arbitrary set of rules that they're forcing everybody who's growing pot to follow. So you have to tag your plants. I was looking at the tracking system here. You have to get an RFID tag for each and every plant that you have.
Yep.
And I presume, I couldn't find all the rules. There's like a whole course that you have to take if you're a grower or a manufacturer. You have to go through a training course on how to use the bureaucracy's tracking system. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that, well, they want to make sure that the cannabis doesn't leak out of the system into the black market because, well, it'd be bad somehow. Because I guess then the government wouldn't make tax money on it, right? That's why they don't want...
They'll lose control.
Right. They would lose control. And that's what this is all about. It's all about their control. So I'm imagining they're probably mandating that they're weighing the plants at some point.
Probably. And I remember reading something, and I forget if it was Oregon or one of the other states there on the West Coast, where the companies are also required by state law to have a certain number of surveillance cameras inside the facility to make sure that none of the workers are
clipping the buds,
clipping or snipping.
Right. Now, that would be something that the marketplace might want anyway, just to make sure their workers aren't pocketing the profits from, you know, clipping extra buds off. But when you're dealing with cannabis plants, you don't really know exactly how much it's going to produce. I mean, there's a certain range in which you can expect that a certain size right. cannabis plant flowered out, you know, to the max is going to produce an upward range of X and a lower range of Y. But
right.
you ultimately don't know exactly how big the buds are going to be or how many of them they're going to be on the plant.
Right. It's the same thing with anything that grows. Like,
yeah.
you know, tomatoes. You don't know exactly how many tomatoes any given plant is going to have. You might wind up being able to figure out an average, but right. there are a lot of factors that go into play.
Yeah, and so that's where some of these questions come in. Is like, well, even if you have them weighing the plant at the point at which they're harvesting it, right?
Right.
So like, they've got the tags on the plants before that. There's the harvesting point, and then there's the drying process. Because you don't just, for anybody that doesn't know anything about cannabis, you don't just clip the buds off the plant, put them in the a pipe, and smoke it. It's too wet. There's too much water in the plant at that point. So they have to do a cure, what they call a curing process, where...
Same thing happens with tobacco.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know if it's the exact same process, but yes, there's some sort of process.
Right. Well, I don't know if it's the same process, but... Tobacco, you don't just cut off of the plant and then smoke. There's a process to cure it and something before it gets smokable.
Part of the process, at least in the illegal markets, you know, because I've known a few growers in my time, is they cut the plant and then they hang it upside down.
Like tobacco.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I'll take your word for it. I've never actually done the tobacco process. I've never done the cannabis process, but I know people who have. And so they hang it upside down, and the idea is that it takes whatever THC is still in the stems and uses gravity to move it into, I don't know if it's true, but that's what I was told.
It's a good theory.
Move it into whatever remains there into the buds as they're drying out. And then once the buds are dry, you can then, you know, clip them off the plant. And then they're ready to ship. Then they're ready to, you know, be smoked. But there's some time that it takes. So between the time when you harvest the plant and the time when you actually have dried the plant sufficiently, the weight of the plant's going to go down.
Right, because all of the moisture is leaving
gone.
The plant.
Right, so all of these, you know, different
It's like
points.
If you go to McDonald's, and there have actually been people that have filed lawsuits on this because they're stupid. They've gone to McDonald's, ordered a quarter pounder, and then put it on the scale. And, this doesn't weigh a quarter. No, that's the weight before cooking, and then there are juices that leave. And so a quarter pound burger doesn't weigh 4 ounces once it's
not
finally
on the
cooked.
Yeah, not on the bun, right. And so all of these points at which they're trying desperately to control this plant, there's so many different points at which somebody can slip a bud out here, slip a bud out there, you know, and then before you know it, you got a whole pound of pot that you've managed to slip out of a few different plants, right?
Right.
And then that pot goes onto the black market, where you can charge whatever black market rates are, and you don't have all the stupid overhead, or at least not as much of the regulatory overhead. You're not charging taxes on
right.
that, so you can keep all of that money. So whether it be the person who's tending the plants, clipping off a few buds before they weigh it, or after the fact, after they've weighed it, then they're going through the drying process. You clip a few out there, and you don't know what's been lost in that process because
it's,
you don't know.
It's skimming. It's like it's kind of like embezzling, but it's a
but
natural
But it's your own
thing.
Product, so you're not embezzling anything.
Yeah,
you're just trying to protect your plant from the government.
Yeah. Well, if it's some guy that you're paying $15 an hour to work for you and he's doing it, it's not his
product.
If he's
not authorized. You're right, if he's not authorized. But if it's a large-scale operation, and you are part of it as the owner or whatever.
You're conspiring.
You know you're moving product into the black market. Then, if you're dealing with growing 1,000 plants or whatever, and I don't know what the limits are in Oregon, but they've got some massive, you know, massive grow operations to fund what they said was like 1 million pounds of pot a year ago. Well, I mean, if you've got 1,000 or more plants, I mean, you skim a little bit off of each plant, you've got pounds and pounds of marijuana you can sell on the black market, no problem. The cops can't stop this, but they're going to try. Anyway, more coming up. You've got some stories about police corruption coming up here, Daryl.
From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the Crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation. A difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale priced for your everyday use. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. Readytoeatbacon.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results may vary. See website for details.
But hey, I'm buying a huge flat-screen TV so I can finally see it without my glasses.
Why not just get LASIK at the LASIK Vision Institute? That's what I'm doing.
My glasses and contacts are a pain. I'd love to finally get rid of these, but who can afford LASIK?
You can. Because the LASIK Vision Institute is offering dramatically low prices and an absolutely free consultation. Just text DO33 to 350350. The LASIK Vision Institute has already performed over 1 million procedures. They use the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision for a fraction of what others charge. Better vision, better value. The LASIK Vision Institute. Make this the year you finally get LASIK. For a free consultation plus an extra 20% discount, text DO33 to 350350. You'll see for free if LASIK is right for you. That's DO33 to 350350.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Free Talk Live. Dial in toll free. Take control of the airwaves. Bring up what you want. Our number is 855-453. 855-450-3733. Skype username, if you want to try us there, is lrn.fm. Or you can jump in our Discord on air call in line room over at discord.lrn.fm. And you can get on the air. You can talk about whatever you want. We're going to get into some police corruption, how the cops are going after people for free speech. Daryl's got that story. It's Ian Thomas and Daryl in the studio tonight. But I do want to let you know about the Tom Woods podcast. Maybe you know Tom Woods, or maybe you're new to him. A lot of folks were introduced during the Ron Paul campaigns of 2008 and 2012. Tom is a New York Times best-selling author. He's written over a dozen books, including The Politically Incorrect Guide to American History. And since September of 2013, Tom Woods has put out his own show, The Tom Woods Show, every single weekday, which means he's racked up approximately 1,200 episodes so far. Great guests like Ron Paul, Judge Andrew Napolitano, David Stockman, and hundreds more. Topics including war, the Federal Reserve, net neutrality, the FDA, Austrian economics, and other subjects of interest to libertarians. You can find The Tom Woods Show online at tomwoods.com or search Tom Woods Show in your favorite podcatcher. All right, Daryl, let's get into your story. Where's it from?
It comes from the Freedom of the Press Foundation, which is an organization that, well, I like a lot of what they do here. And the headline is, police are threatening free expression by abusing the law to punish disrespect for law enforcement. In May 2016, a pair of police officers in the New York City Police Department ticketed Shyam Patel for his car's tinted windows. After parking, Patel raised his middle finger in response. The NYPD, the officers, then approached Patel and asked for his identification. When he asked what crime he was suspected of committing, he alleges that one of the officers says, "You can't gesture as such." When Patel insisted that he had freedom of speech,
that prohibits the gesturing.
There isn't one.
That would be my next question.
He insisted that freedom of speech granted him the right. Patel alleges the officers said that, "You can't curse a police officer," grabbed his phone, and then again demanded identification. He was then arrested and charged with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest. While the charges were later dropped,
of course,
he is suing the officers for violation of First Amendment rights for free expression.
Clear violation.
Yep.
And these cases happen all the time. In fact, there was one that happened here in the Keene area that I followed. A local guy who is a New Hampshire native was mad at the police during an encounter at a local dam, and they didn't like his attitude, basically, and so they arrested him, and I think it was disorderly conduct was the charge in that particular case as well.
That's basically the catch-all for you did something and we can't like think you of an actual charge. Yep.
They don't really have any distinction of what the disorderly is when it comes to that type of what they call man-pig, you know, like them being provoked.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they go, oh, look, well, he's acting silly and disorderly conduct.
And disorderly is written in a very nebulous manner. It can be applied.
It's a breach of the peace.
In a lot of ways. But ultimately, he was victorious in that particular case. He won. I don't think it was on appeal. I think that he just won straight up in court on that one, on like the district court level, because this is a long settled issue, but yet it continues to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
because
yes, it does.
It doesn't matter that if the police send out a memo saying, "Officers, you are not to arrest people who, you know, flip you off or say F you or say something that you're offended by because we keep losing these cases. You need to stop arresting them." First of all, that memo doesn't go out. But even if the memo did go out and a cop ignored it and went ahead and arrested somebody anyway, there would be near to no penalty for that officer besides a verbal tongue lashing from his superiors.
If that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why this stuff just keeps happening. That's why people keep getting arrested for recording the police, too.
Article continues, no law prohibits swearing at or flipping off police officers.
Of course not.
And it seems clear that law enforcement were in the wrong, but Patel's case is only the latest incident of police officers abusing the law and their positions of power to punish people critical or disrespectful of law enforcement.
Right, because remember, the punishment is in the arrest.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So even if later on, even if later the, you know, thing gets overturned, even if later, you know, and again, it's very rare you're going to get any kind of monetary settlement
out of
this. You'll just win, and I'm putting air quotes around the win, because, well, you didn't lose by having to go to jail. You only won because of the fact that you won in court. You still lost all the time. You lost whatever the arrest time was, and the, you know, the embarrassment of being arrested. Because a lot of people, if their name shows up in the arrest records in the newspaper, they'll get fired. It doesn't even matter that they were in the right. It doesn't matter that the arrest was fallacious. They're going to lose their job because they got arrested.
And then you're out a lot of money for a lawyer. You're out money for trying to wind up getting an annulment because there was no subsequent conviction, but it's still on the record.
And plus, it's so hard to litigate it. Like, basically, it's almost not worth it if you want to try to litigate your, you know, compensation for your rights. In Florida, they actually have, in a lot of different sheriff's departments, they have $10,000 or $20,000 of a fund just to pay off, you know, in the cases they have. But they have so many more.
To settle, you mean, in,
yeah,
in
to
certain
settle.
Cases?
Their lawsuits down there is like 100 or 200 lawsuits against a given, you know, sheriff's department, whereas here it's probably like 5 or 10.
Yeah, that's true. So everything's much smaller scale.
Yeah, and they'll stick you in court here forever and a day, and nothing will ever happen, so.
So, go on with the story.
Yeah, the article, and they give several other cases here. In 2009, a black man returning to his home in Cambridge, Massachusetts from travel abroad found his door tightly shut. He, along with his taxi driver, forced the door open. Soon after, police arrived to his house to respond to a reported burglary. It's unclear what words exactly were exchanged, but the man was arrested for, quote, loud and tumultuous behavior.
In his own home.
In his own home that he allegedly broke into. Mm. A report by the officer in question indicated that the man merely used harsh language and called the officer racist. If the circumstances were different, this incident may not have made headlines, but it did. Countless people of color are accused of criminal activity for walking upon their own sidewalks or entering their own homes, but the man was Henry Louis Gates Jr., a professor at Harvard University.
I remember this story.
And friend of, at the time, newly elected President Barack Obama.
Huh.
The details of his arrest quickly made waves across the country.
Right.
Somebody got fired.
Probably.
Maybe.
Coverage of the incident focused on concerns of racial profiling, but it was about free speech as well. Gates was arrested not for breaking and entering, but for disorderly conduct after he used harsh language at an officer.
He had an
just
incident
like Patel.
With the officer, and the officer wanted to get him.
Yep.
The officer knew, oh, crap. This guy's on his own property. He's proven he's a property owner, so I can't get him for that. But he's arguing with me. I'm gonna figure something out. And he came up with, what was it, tumultuous conduct?
Loud and tumultuous behavior.
Is that a state law?
Civil liberties attorney Harvey Silvergate has called disorderly conduct law enforcement's charge of choice for when a citizen gives lip to a cop.
We got more.
And there's more.
All right. More on the way here. By the way, Harvey Silvergate, I think it's with the ACLU of Massachusetts, I believe. Toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. Can you say F the police?
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact, and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
This is Jessica Armand, founder of My Magic Mud. Our team helped organize a successful effort to remove fluoride from our city's water supply. This is our passion. My Magic Mud Oral Care purifies and brightens your smile naturally. GCN listeners, please support my family business by purchasing our product from your local health food store. We're also available at CVS Pharmacy. Or visit us at MyMagicMud.com and take 10% off now with coupon code GCN10.
USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent. Employers added 157,000 jobs last month. J.J. Kinahan, chief market strategist at TD Ameritrade, says the unemployment rate is down to 3.9%, the lowest rate since May.
There is no early indications of job loss due to tariffs. That's obviously something everyone will be keeping their eye on going forward.
China says it's willing to impose tariffs on $60 billion of U.S. goods in retaliation to the Trump administration's proposed tariffs on another $200 billion of Chinese goods. White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow says Beijing should not underestimate the president as China's economy falls apart.
China better take President Trump's efforts to solve the unfair illegal trade and their tariff problem, their lack of reciprocity, their technology stealing, their IP theft. They better take President Trump seriously.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Attention, timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from Resort Release, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get rid of their expensive timeshares. Once you've made that decision to get rid of your timeshare for any reason, Resort Release is offering a Better Business Bureau accredited way to legally get rid of your timeshare guaranteed. We guarantee to get rid of your timeshare payments permanently. Even if you've tried another company to get rid of your expensive timeshare, call now and see if we can help you. At Resort Release, you don't pay anything until you're ready. If you're ready to learn how to permanently get rid of your costly timeshare, make this complimentary free call right now.
800-455-7967. 800-455-7967. 800-455-7967. That's 800-455-7967.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Hey, it's Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll-free. Take control of the airwaves. Bring up what you want. Our number here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. ForkFest 2019. It's coming up next year. It's going to likely be on the dates June 13th through the 18th of 2019 at the beautiful Rogers Campground in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. It's a great location, great time. This year's ForkFest was excellent. There were probably like three times as many people that came out this year compared to last year. I think we were well over 100 attendees on the Saturday, and then even more showed up because our friend and co-host Jay Noon got married that Sunday. He had like 150 people show up to his wedding, and so by that Monday there were probably 300 folks at the very end of ForkFest.
Plus some horses.
Yeah, that's right, and a unicorn horse, as a matter of fact. ForkFest.party is where you can go. I don't know if anybody else took any pictures, though, because I posted them on the ForkFest forum, and I said, hey, if anybody else has any pictures, you know, post them here. Nobody else did. So I might have gotten the only pictures of ForkFest 2019. So maybe you'll come
2018.
Thank you.
Unless you're a time traveler.
Maybe you'll show up next year and make it even better, because it's all up to you, the individuals who are attending ForkFest. What happens? It's decentralized. There's no central committee. There's no board of directors. There's no organizers of ForkFest. It's just a set number of days, set location, and then whatever it is the attendees want to create is what happens there. So if you want to throw a party, throw a party. If you want to have a musical performance, you know, build a stage or bring a guitar or bring an amplifier or whatever and do your thing. Are you getting ideas, Daryl?
I am getting some ideas.
Okay. All right. Cool. So I like that. And then there's also the ForkFest forum where people can discuss, you know, maybe plan things in advance. There's the Telegram chat room. All of these things are unofficial. You can link to them all over at ForkFest.party. Again, June 13th through June 18th in 2019. ForkFest.party as we continue here. Daryl, you're sharing a story with us. And, well, I'm sorry, what was the source on it again?
Freedom of the Press Foundation.
And they're reporting on this ongoing problem that even though there have been case after case after case where as long as you challenge an arrest, if a cop arrests you for saying F you or flipping them off or doing some other kind of motion that's offensive, you know, saying something mean that they don't like, if a cop arrests you for that and charges you with disorderly conduct or one of these other catch-alls that they have,
resisting arrest,
it's almost a guarantee you will win the case. But the problem is, they know they've got you against a wall because you've got to hire the attorney.
Right.
You've got to find an attorney who's willing to take a case against the police. Mm-hmm. And many attorneys aren't willing to.
No, right. They're not.
And that's where the ACLU comes in.
The article here continues, these types of cases sadly are still a regular occurrence despite the 1974 court case, Lewis v. New Orleans, where the U.S. Supreme Court
really
struck down a city ordinance that outlawed obscene or opprobrious language toward or with reference to a police officer. That word opprobrious I had never heard before, but it translates, or rather by translates, I mean the definition is offensive. Expressing scorn or criticism.
Okay.
So saying, you're a meanie.
Mm. Hey, cop, leave that girl alone. She didn't do anything wrong.
Yes.
They do this all the time in Keene where, you know, they're harassing college students who are just peacefully drinking a beer while they're walking down the street. Cops are going to, you know, they harass them all the time. I've seen them make college girls cry,
yes,
you know, as they're arresting them and harassing mm-hmm. them. And I've called them out for it. Like, hey, don't you have a real crime to go investigate? You know, like where somebody destroyed a piece of property or got raped or murdered or, you know, somebody burned a house down or something like
That's too hard to do. Right,
that takes
easier.
Real work.
Yeah. The court in 1974.
You don't have to be a real detective to find a kid on the street with a beer in their hand.
No, and it seems that every time that you try to challenge a policeman's authority, like if you were to say, hey, my attorney won't be pleased, well, all of a sudden, three or four more police officers will pop up, and then you're definitely going to jail.
Yeah.
So it seems like if you challenge it, the worse off you're going to be.
Well, you mean in the face of the police?
In the face of them. Before there's any charge or arrest ever to take place,
right,
that's the intimidation, you know. And then right. after you're actually charged, it's, are you willing to take your chances of challenging it?
Right, so. And many people are afraid. They're not willing to take the chance.
Right, and, you know, yeah, let's talk about, you know, this sort of plea deal thing to where they always ask the question, did anybody threaten you or make you offers? And, Ian, didn't you say that there was somebody in Keene several years ago that said, yeah, the police officer said that if I didn't take this, then yeah, this, you know, really right. bad sentence.
Yeah.
No. We mean anybody else.
Us, yeah. Did anybody?
Did anybody other than the cop make you a promise?
I saw somebody yesterday do that when they were doing the allocation.
Right of allocution?
Yeah, or, you know, like
on a contempt charge?
Yeah, well, no. Wait, I'm thinking the wrong one. They were doing the BOP.
Okay,
so when, probation. Yeah, so when they're asking you, like, did anyone coerce you? He's like, yes. And it took him a second, and the judge had to ask him a second time.
Right.
Which is basically, yes, you're being told you're either going to prison or you're making the deal. And it's either one of the
total coercion.
Yeah.
Yeah. From top to bottom.
So continuing on here, at the time, again, 1974, in the case of Lewis v. New Orleans, the U.S. Supreme Court noted, quote, a properly trained police officer may reasonably be expected to exercise a higher degree of restraint than a private citizen. Despite the Supreme Court's clear ruling on the issue, police in Pennsylvania are using the state's version of hate crime laws to prosecute multiple people who say offensive things to them when they're being arrested. The laws are intended to protect the vulnerable, but are instead being wielded as a tool by powerful government entities. Robbie Sanderson, a 52-year-old black man, was arrested for retail theft near the city of Pittsburgh in September 2016. During his arrest, he called the police Nazis and skinheads and said, quote, "All you cops shoot people for no reason." He was charged with felony ethnic intimidation.
Wow.
Ethnic intimidation? This is a hate crime? This is
hate crime.
Hate crime?
Law. He was being arrested,
yeah.
Called the cop a Nazi, a skinhead, and said you shoot people for no reason while he was being arrested and was charged with intimidation.
That's incredible.
Wow.
Incredible.
Later that year, Sonata Omarosa became agitated at a police station and was arrested for disorderly conduct and was then knocked to the ground. According to the ACLU, she yelled while handcuffed in a jail cell, "Death to all you white bitches. I'm going to kill you white bitches. I hope ISIS kills you." Her six charges included a felony assault charge for hitting an officer in the arm and felony ethnic intimidation.
Wow.
Well, see, that's the modern penal code, because Pennsylvania's on the modern penal code, and like they have like fifth-degree crimes. It's a very crazy...
I'm not familiar with this.
It's called the modern penal code. If you look it up, it's basically what the federal government does so far as crimes, except they've done it for the state level.
Huh.
And so, like, their crimes, like this crime here is, like, it's lunacy.
This is crazy.
Yeah. Sanderson and Omarosa's cases are just two of the many in Pennsylvania where law enforcement agents slapped disrespectful arrestees with hate crime charges. The people yelled speech that officers found offensive, but they were handcuffed and posed no physical threat to anyone. Pennsylvania's ethnic intimidation charge works similarly to hate crimes laws in other states, which generally enhance the penalties for perpetrators when victims were targeted for discriminatory reasons. Although hate crime statutes were
enacted... And yet another example of how a law's intent isn't necessarily how it's enforced. Now,
correct.
As libertarians, you know, we don't believe in hate crime laws, because if you murder somebody, it shouldn't matter if you said, "I hate you, buddy," before, you know, you pull the trigger or whatever. "I don't like you, blanks," or whatever. It's a murder. It should be the same punishment no matter what the opinion of the murderer was. But yet here's an example of how those laws are now being completely turned against the very people they were supposed to, you know, be protecting, the disadvantaged, the minorities. And now you've got cops saying, "Well, our feelings were hurt. Hit them with a felony."
Blue lives murder.
Yep, we're out of time here. We're going to do an Edgington Post coming up here in the final segment with Titus Gebel. We'll see you tomorrow online, freetalklive.com.
The Bitcoin.com wallet is a simple and powerful full-featured wallet that allows you to send and receive Bitcoin, BTC, and Bitcoin Cash, BCH, with anyone, anywhere in the world. It supports both single and multi-signature wallets and is available in multiple languages. The Bitcoin.com wallet is available on Windows, Linux, Mac, Android, and iOS devices. Use the Bitcoin.com wallet to buy, send, store, and receive both Bitcoin, BTC, and Bitcoin Cash, BCH. Learn more at wallet.bitcoin.com. That's wallet.bitcoin.com.
What's more profitable? Running your business or doing bookkeeping? Doing your business, of course, but you want to keep your books so that you can maximize your tax savings, right? What if I told you that there's a person that's a bookkeeper, accountant, and law school graduate that's also a hardcore libertarian?
My name is Melanie Johnson, and I hate the states. I will aggressively help you to minimize your tax exposure and maximize profits, all while staying within the law.
Melanie's your best choice for your taxes and bookkeeping needs. Go to tax.freetalklive.com and check out our website, tax.freetalklive.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S. The Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber. Go to TheUltimateKnife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own. And only available at TheUltimateKnife.com. Use promo code radio at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at TheUltimateKnife.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
All right, this is Mark Edge doing another Edgington Post right here from the Startup Societies Foundation Summit in Washington, D.C. I have with me Titus Gable. Is that right?
Titus Gable.
Titus Gable. Okay. It's Titus in English.
I know. And French call me T2s.
There you go. That's Titus, I just watched your speech. I find what you have to say very compelling. Can you sort of sum up what it is that you're about? Who you are and what you're about, real quick.
Yeah, my name is Titus Gable again, and I'm a lawyer by education, but skipped being an active lawyer, become an entrepreneur 15 years ago. In Germany, founded a big mining and oil and gas company, could eventually retire in 2014, moved with my family to Monaco, and I was active in politics, classical liberal, libertarian, for 30 years, and I found out that it's not basically easy to change the system from within, but instead I want to create a new product from the outside. It's called a free private city. And the idea of a free private city is that there's a private governance provider who is protecting your life, liberty, and property, and you pay a fixed amount for that per year. It is laid down in a contract, so there is no doubt about your rights and obligations. It's all laid down. It's a real social contract. You sign this contract if you like it. If you don't like it, you stay where you are. But if you like it, you then move into this free private city. And other than these few rules and the rights of the others, you are basically free to do as you choose. That's the whole idea.
I think this may sound foreign to people, the whole idea of a city being a business, essentially starting a city and providing a few basic services, infrastructure, maybe dispute resolution, maybe protection services, dependent. But frankly, this is done all the time. Cruise ships are their own free private cities. There's almost no law on the sea, and they provide you with everything. Resorts are another good example. Basically a hotel, but something bigger that has a
little bit more than a hotel to provide so that people can get an idea. Resorts are everywhere. Now, they have to pay property taxes that go then to the municipality that actually, you know, the sort of overarching municipality, but frankly, the municipality doesn't provide the resort anything, so there's no particular reason why they should be paying those things. They provide the security, they provide the infrastructure, and obviously resorts have things like swimming pools and lawn chairs and all kinds of things that people might want when they're on vacation, but if it was just a resort designed for everyday life, then that's what you're talking about. It really makes sense.
Yeah, it's an excellent example with the cruise ship, because the cruise ship has an own legal system on the high seas, and it's normally, it's in the contract, most people don't recognize that, but they have a contract with the cruise ship, basically owner,
yep,
or with the company that is organizing the whole journey. And that is exactly the same. I'm basically putting the cruise ship idea on land. And the big difference is that you are then only subject to the rules of the cruise ship on land, on the free private city, and not subject, or only to a very limited degree, to the other tons of regulations and rules that are in the normal states existing. You can imagine it's like the relationship that Hong Kong has with China, a free private city. We would be located within an existing state on a contractual basis. We would have a contract with the state. The state is granting us internal autonomy, so we can set our own rules.
The state will provide military protection.
Yeah, it's at the moment they want to keep sovereignty, so it's probably not realistic to get full sovereignty at this state. We would just be still part of the sovereignty. They would provide, as you say, for defense, foreign policy, maybe some international agreements that they have signed. But for all the rest, we are on our own, and we can give to our residents this freedom. We can say, okay, look, here's a clear fixed amount what you have to pay for this infrastructure, security, a dispute resolution, and we cannot change that contract. As the example was with the cruise ship or the holiday resort, people know in advance what they have to pay. It's completely different to our states, where they're changing the rules every year. You get a new tax every year. You get a new regulation that you cannot do this and that. And you didn't agree to that.
Right. That's the social contract, right? So they tell you there's this social contract. They tell you that you agreed to it. And then they also tell you that they can change the terms anytime they want. I'm not exactly sure what I get to do, but I hear they get to do a lot of things. You were talking about the social contract during your speech.
Yeah, and that is exactly, I think, one of the reasons why even our Western societies are in such big trouble all over the world, is that this so-called social contract is a very one-sided contract. Because one side...
It's not a contract.
No, it's not a contract. It's a contract on the expense of third parties. And that is forbidden or is invalid according to the civil and common law of basically all societies.
Right. So it's calling something that is not what it is, what it is. So like a contract is an agreement between two or more parties. It's not an agreement between two or more parties. Like the two or more parties can't implement that agreement on other people. That's not a contract.
Exactly.
That's
and
war.
That is like you and I would make a contract that a person who would just walk by would have to pay $1,000. And yeah, of course that's nonsense. But in our social contract we are doing exactly that. And the interesting thing is now that the guy who is supposedly one of the creators of these terms, social contract, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, he has written by himself in his book that for the very first time, even the social contract that is based on a majority rule needs the 100% consent. So people have first to decide, I want to be governed by majority rule or any other rule before they are subject to that rule. And that is not happening. And the other thing is that there's only one side can change the contract. It's not us. Never. Mm-hmm. It's always the other side. And so far, I'm basically completely switching that. And not something radically new, but to something we already know out of our daily lives. That is, we want to have a service, be it a cruise, or be it a holiday, or be it a tax accountant advising us. We know in advance what we have to pay for it and what we get for our money.
Right.
And that is exactly the concept of free private cities. You can read the contract in advance. I'm not going to change it later. I'm not going to say, by the way, Mark, we are building something new. You will pay double the fees, but you get a service that you didn't order. That is not going to happen.
Right.
And so what we are doing is transforming something that we already know from everyday life to what I call the market of living together.
Do you imagine these cities being small or being large as an optimum size to a city? You spent some time imagining this, and I'm curious, is there a size that's too big? Because when I see big cities, I rarely see small government.
Yeah, that is true. I mean,
and it may be because that's the way it has to be. I don't know. When you attract 10 million people to one place, you know, some percentage of them are going to be jerks, and maybe we need social services for that large quantity of jerks. I have no clue.
Yeah, let the market decide. I mean, this is something you cannot say in advance that there will be an optimal size. I think that people are different, and they have different tastes in products and different tastes in living together, in the method how to live together. Mm-hmm. And some, maybe smaller cities, might be more for libertarian individualists.
Yeah, I kind of hear that. I hear some terminology that makes me think you understand the libertarian ideas.
But on the other side, you might have a lot of people who want to be taken care of, and they are willing to pay more for it. So let a market
decide. The
people
who want to be taken care of, Titus, never want to pay more.
Yeah,
they want you to pay more.
that does not work, right? Because it's not me, it's the other. So this is another big beauty of the free private city model. There's no forum for lobbyists, for political activists, and other types of cronyism, because everybody knows all the others have other contracts, and no third party can influence that contract. So that is a big protection, and that is also the reason why even the parliament system, the parliament is eventually hijacked by interest groups, by the government, by the majority party or whatever. This is not going to happen here because everybody has bilateral agreements.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a much bigger protection. I nevertheless think that free private cities, there will not be one model. There will be different models. Let's assume some people prefer a more anarcho-capitalist setup, others are more the classical liberal types. Then you have people who want a little bit of welfare.
Yep.
And you can all add that, right? I can really
That's
kind of
how Monaco is, right? Monaco provides, you're living in Monaco right now.
Yeah.
Monaco provides for its citizens, which it's nearly impossible to become one. You're a resident, I would presume. For its citizens, it provides a social...
It's a food service.
Yeah, right. Full service, welfare state for the citizenry. But everybody else goes there essentially because it provides a great level of service even for residents. And there's almost no social welfare for people who come for a residency.
And still people want
And basically they're just supporting these people who happen to, by accident of birth, be born in Monaco.
That is true. And look, but here's the thing. What I experienced in Monaco was also very instructive.
To hear the rest of this great interview, go to archives.freetalklive.com and get the MP3. Look for today's date there and download or just listen on the web. archives.freetalklive.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Return to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just 2 bottles, a 4-month supply. I take Extendivite 3 times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the 3-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. ProactiveMD.com and enter promo code radio. You heard right. ProactiveMD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to ProActive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to ProActive.com and enter promo code radio.